We are continuing down our pathway on this series of lessons on being a privileged partner with the Lord. And our message today is titled, Our Distinguishing Partner. Our distinguishing partner. And our text is John chapter 14. So if you'll turn there in your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you, in the pocket of the chair in front of you. If not, you raise your hand, the ushers will make sure that you get one. John 14, and we're starting in verse 15, and we're going to read through verse 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I literally had an entire message all ready to go last night, and then I came across this passage. And I felt so strongly that this is where the Lord was leading me this morning that I punted that former message and I put together this one. And it wasn't hard to do. It just spilled out. In fact, so much so that I had to really work hard at curtailing what I wanted to say. Because how can you have a series of messages on partnership with the living God without talking about the partnership of the Holy Spirit? And so I thought, we must talk about this morning. But let me warn you. First of all, there's so much written about the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. And then there's entire chapters and books and volumes of books that have been written about the Holy Spirit that we are not going to cover anything sufficiently, or I should say exhaustively, during this time. You wouldn't want me to even try. But we are going to look at sort of a Reader's Digest portion of it, and specifically as it relates to our partnership with him as he does his work in the world. And as Brother Don was praying at our leaders meeting yesterday, which was a wonderful time, and I know you're tired of me saying everything was wonderful, and the leaders meeting was wonderful, Bible study was wonderful, Sunday school was wonderful, the women are going to have a wonderful time, and you need to stop talking about it. Well, you need to stop being so wonderful, and I'll stop talking about it. But we had, you know, the couples group is wonderful.
It is.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. It is. It's not an exaggeration. But at our leaders meeting, we were having a wonderful time. And Brother Don was praying at the end. And you know, we're praying and we're all engaged. And what he prayed was so wonderful that I had to stop, you know, and disengage my hand from the person who I was holding hands with. And, you know, prayer still counts when you disengage your hand. So don't worry about it. It still goes. So I had to write it down, though. And Brother Don was praying, and it was just a little phrase. He said, "Lord, you're bigger than any box we could put you in." And then he said, "Because you are the box." I said, "Yes, yes, yes." See, he's bigger than any box because he is the box. The whole, everything that is contained in him. And he holds all things together. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're treading on holy ground. And I would not even feign to suggest that what I will share is in any way adequate to the reality of who he is. But may God give me grace to give some encouragement and insight as to how he works with us in this partnership that we are engaged in with him. So one of those chapters and one of those many books that have been written about the Holy Spirit, you find this paragraph. It says, "The Holy Spirit represented the last phase of a process of personalization of the Godhead to humans. The God of the Old Covenant made himself known essentially through the law and the prophets. Then he became incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. In him, God drew close to humans as he lived among them as one of them. But with the advent of the Holy Spirit, he came even closer as the indwelling presence of God within the community of believers and within the intimacy of their individual lives." I think that's a nice little summation of who the Holy Spirit is and what he is about. So today I'm using this passage here in John to look at the Holy Spirit's role in our partnership with the Lord. So if you're taking notes, the main idea is this. Our partner in fulfilling our purpose, is a friend like no other. Our partner in fulfilling our purpose is a friend like no other. Now, everything else I'm going to be saying today is about what makes him like no other. But if you just want the summary of what Pastor Dan talked about, our partner in fulfilling our purpose, and it's a magnificent purpose. It's a wonderful purpose. As one person said, you are not a wandering generality. You are a meaningful specific. You are intimately involved in God's eternal work that he's doing. But our partner in fulfilling that purpose is a friend like no other. In verse 15, number one, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you the number one, and then I'm going to give you the verse, and then number two, and then give you the verse, so you can look back at the text and relive this through your own devotional times. In verse 15, number one, verse 15, he inspires obedience. This is what makes him a friend like no other. See, a lot of folks can tell you what to do, but see, he inspires us to do it. He inspires obedience. If you look at the verse there in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." If you love me. Now, you can look at this one of two ways. You can look at it as a test. Say, if you really love me, prove it by keeping my commandments. If you want to go that way, fine, I won't argue with you. You can also look at it this way, though. If you love me, if your heart can be in a place where you are experiencing my love and are returning that love because you are experiencing it. If you are motivated by my love, if you are inspired by my love, you will obey my commandments. Now, I can say that I've tried the former and I have experienced the latter. What I have experienced is a testimonial in my own life of, to the degree that I am inspired by his love, to the degree that I am inspired by how much he loves me, my love for him grows. We love because he first loved us, the scripture says. It is the love of Christ that controls us, it says in 2 Corinthians. And so what my experience has been is as I have grown more and more connected, more and more in tune with the love of God, I have found that I have been less worried about trying to keep the commandments, and I have found myself moving towards greater Christ-likeness every day. Not because I'm trying so hard, but because I am so inspired by him. And it has been absolutely true in my life that as I have grown in my love for him, as I've recognized how deep is his love for me and responded to that love, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Number two, he's a friend like none other because of verse 16. He brings a treasure chest of friend tools. He brings with him every moment into our lives a treasure chest of friend tools. In fact, he's called the counselor. He's called the comforter, the spirit of truth. He's called the teacher. This word that is used, translated Holy Spirit, has many, many meanings. As I said, counselor, truth, comforter, encourager, one who comes alongside to help, one who lifts you up when you fall. All of these are meanings of a companion. Yes. He's the one that makes us all distinct. And you are distinct, each one of you. Quite distinct. He's the one that brings out the flavor of what we were intended to be. He's the one that blossoms us. He brings a treasure chest of friend tools. And Romans 8:26 tells us this. It says he intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words when we're trying to communicate with God. I don't know about you, but sometimes, frankly, I get word weary.
Yeah. Amen.
You ever been word weary in prayer? You just run out of words, or you're tired of saying the same words. You can't find any different words, and you're just word weary.
Yeah.
Well, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in ways that are beyond words.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. So you can be still before the Lord, because it's not the number of words that you use with him. It's the orientation of our hearts. It's not the number of words. It's not the amount of time. It's the orientation of our hearts. And the Lord has never required eloquence from us in order to hear us or in order to respond from us. We may be eloquent people. We may pray eloquent prayers, but don't fall into the snare of thinking that it's your eloquence.
Amen.
That the Lord is applauding. Well said, well said. Although in my experience of prayer, I have felt the Lord's hug at times when, and maybe you felt this when you've been praying, maybe felt his hug of affirmation. When you've prayed something, and sometimes it'll cause you to smile, sometimes it'll cause you to weep.
Yes.
Sometimes it'll just make you silent, but he has a way of letting you know, I heard that. Yeah. Sometimes I laugh out loud, and I know he's laughing back. Did you just hear that? Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes not saying a word. He just comes alongside and lets you know that he knows. Somehow, he lets you know that he knows where you're coming from. He's a friend like no other, and he brings a treasure chest of friend tools. I could give a whole sermon on just that. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm going to go on to the next verse, verse 17. He's an eternal roommate. He's an eternal roommate. Says he lives with you now. But Jesus said one day he's going to be in you. And that one day happened after he rose from the dead and went back to heaven. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the time that was when the Holy Spirit was given to indwell all believers at the same time, individually. Prior to that, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for certain tasks and under certain conditions, and he would leave. Under certain conditions. Saul had the Holy Spirit leave him. But see, the Holy Spirit who was given after Jesus went back to heaven was given to permanently indwell every person who put his or her faith in Christ. And that is where he is to this day. The moment that each one of us said yes to him, that's what happened. So he's an eternal roommate. Like that old song says, something within me. Something within me that holdeth the reins.
Yeah.
Something within me that banishes pain. Something within me that I can't explain. All that I know is there's something with me. That something is someone. That something is someone. And he is your permanent, eternal roommate. So you can say with 100% accuracy that there's indefinitely more to me than what meets the eye.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can say it without exaggeration. There's infinitely more to me than meets the eye. And you can also say there's something more wonderful happening in you than you could ever begin to imagine. Because the eternal God is living his life and doing his work. He's doing his thing in you. The one who is beyond description, beyond imagination, is inside of you. And so something wonderful is happening. And that's why I loved us singing, more than I know, you're so good to me. More than we could ever begin to imagine is what he is up to inside of each one of us. Also in verse 17, it says the world cannot accept him because it doesn't see him and it doesn't know him. So you may say there's infinitely more to me than the eye can see, but the world won't believe you. They might, depending upon where the Lord has their heart and how responsive they are to the things of the Spirit and where the Lord is taking them. But Jesus said that the world cannot accept him. Because it doesn't see him or know him. So don't be surprised if not everybody is celebrating your dance. If you're the only one dancing to the music, you're the only one who hears it, perhaps, in that environment. The world cannot see him, it doesn't accept him. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 2, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For their foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Number 4, verse 18. This friend that is like no other friend, he's God. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He is all God. He's not an impersonal force. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not, may the force be with you. He's not something that we tap into. He lives inside of us. The mystery of the Trinity is found in this verse. It says, I will come to you. Verses, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I'm going to come to you. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So what is it going to be, Jesus? You said you're going to send the Holy Spirit. But he says also here at the end of verse 20, you're going to realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. So you see this great mystery of the Godhead and how it's the Holy Spirit, but it's also Jesus. And all the Godhead is accessible to us. It's a tremendous mystery. In verse 18, he is the Holy Spirit. And then number 5, verse 19, verses 19 and 20. He helps us to understand what we've got. He helps us to understand what we've got. So referring to his death and resurrection, he said, the world won't see me, but you will. And because I live, you will live too. You're going to have eternal life, and you're going to better understand the mystery of our relationship. A couple of chapters later, he says this, but when he, John 16, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So what is he talking about here? You ever have those moments where you have those light bulbs turn on?
Yes.
And you finally see it, or you get it, and you have those spiritual aha moments where your mind opens up, your spirit opens up, and you see something that you didn't see before. You understand something that you didn't understand before. That is many times the Spirit taking from what is Jesus's and making it known to us. So he is the one who helps us to understand what this journey is all about. It's not our intellect that helps us to figure it out. It's the Holy Spirit opening up our minds and opening up our hearts and opening us up to be able to receive the truth. And sometimes the way he does that is by prepping us through circumstances. See, we become a lot more attentive at some times. More than at other times. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we're running around so much that the Holy Spirit wants to say something to us, wants to reveal something to us, either about our lives or about ourselves personally or something else. But we're so busy, we're so engaged with other things that we're just not listening. So he has to sit us down. Not a punishment timeout, but an attention timeout. Let's sit down. I want you to see something. I want you to understand something. Now, many times, that's in suffering. Unfortunately, we are more sensitive in suffering. Not totally, because there are times when joy is great. We say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, and we're giving the Lord the praise. But when things are just sort of at an even keel, we just sort of get dull.
Yeah.
We just sort of we get lulled into sort of a place of, I won't say complacency, but it's kind of like complacency. But when things become difficult, the Lord becomes more prominent to us. Somehow we're able to hear his voice, or we're listening more acutely. But he's the one that opens our understanding to hear. And to receive things. And I would suggest sometimes when God has given you a feast of insight, and sometimes that's what happens, you get this burst of all these things, and Facebook is really something. It is. Because, I mean, you get thing after thing after thing after thing. People send you all these thoughts, and many of them are very good. But we don't take the time to chew.
That's right.
You know, it would be better to chew on one than to just swallow them all and just keep on going. It'd be better to take one and just chew. And it's amazing how the Lord is able to connect so many other truths to one. We think we need all these different truths, but we would be surprised sometimes at how deep is one truth and how many branches it has. So sometimes it's important for us to just slow down and chew so the Lord can reveal to us what he wants us to see and understand. Because I live, you also will live. You're going to live forever. And you've already started. I'm going to live forever. And I've already started. Ricardo and I were talking about where we are right now. You're on the path. You are on the road of life right now. Eternal life doesn't begin when you die. Eternal life has already started. He who believes in me has eternal life. So you're already on the road of life. You're walking that path of life. The only thing that changes is I'm standing here and my life is being lived in this place. Let's say that this middle aisle here is the path of life. I am walking the path of life. This is birth. I'm walking the path of life. Life advances. Time goes on. I get older. I get grayer. I get balder. And pretty soon, I'm gone. But I'm still here. I'm just on the other side of the door. My life continues. You can't see me. You can't see me. You can't touch me. But I am behind the door of this life, but I live.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because I live, you will live.
Amen.
And not later on. You're going to live now and you're going to live forever. Thank you, Lord. When I thought about this, I stopped and I chewed. And I said, thank you, Lord, for paying the admission price for me to have eternal life and to live forever in heaven. Thank you for paying. That would have been impossibly expensive, literally impossibly expensive. Too expensive for me to pay. And you paid it for me. Because I live, you also will live. And finally, number 6, he keeps himself real. Brother John was telling us a story in Sunday school about how he had his favorite chair that he would pray at whenever there was a need. He would just go to this chair, and that was his place to meet the Lord. And one day he needed a large sum of money. And he went to his chair, and he knelt to pray. And the evil one got in his ear and said to him, what's this chair gonna do? And all of a sudden, it became clear to John that, visibly speaking, that's all he had, was a chair. He didn't have the money that he needed. He didn't have God physically present in the room. Jesus wasn't sitting in the chair in a way that he could see him. All he had was a chair. But guess what the Lord does? He makes himself real to us. And so even though we don't see him, somehow he is able to revive our faith and make us know that he is. The Holy Spirit is the one who does that. When Jesus says, I will show myself to him, that literally means I will make myself real to him. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes God real to us. And he is infinitely creative in the ways he does that. I mean, he could use a song, a thought, a remembrance, another person. The scriptures jump off the page, and you say, whoa! Our heart starts singing again. Yeah. We go from being comatose to alive and vibrant. We go from being dull to sharp. We go from this place of darkness to light.
Yes.
That's not us doing that. That is the friend like no other making him real, making us know that he is real.
Yeah.
He's so real. Real in my soul today. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes that happen. Now, I'm going to close off here with relevance. Last week, I concluded the message by saying, what is the relevance of this message to my daily life? And I shared the word perspective. Okay, I laid the foundation of this particular truth of the Holy Spirit for a reason. And it is important for us to have our reasons rooted in the scripture. It is important, every verse that I shared and taking the time to share that verse is an important part of the process of rooting the truth in our lives so that we're not just going by emotion. So that we're not just going by how it feels today. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he is as present with us on those days when we feel as flat as a pancake as he is on those days when spirituality is so vivid we could almost taste it and touch it. So we need to be rooted in truth. So what is the relevance? If I was going to give you one word to sum up the relevance of this message for your life tomorrow, it's the word confidence. Confidence. Confidence affects the way we walk. It affects the way we talk. It affects the way that we think. It affects the way that we act. It affects our smile. It affects our posture. Confidence plays a tremendous role in our lives. Kathleen Turner, the actress, she said, the big gap between the ability of actors is confidence. Terry Bradshaw, Hall of Fame quarterback, he said, the worst thing that can happen to a quarterback is to lose confidence. When a sports team has collective confidence, we call it momentum. We call it Big Mo. And when you got Big Mo, crazy things start happening to lead you to victory. Anybody play sports in here? You know what I'm talking about. Once that thing starts rolling and everybody's got momentum, you start catching crazy passes. You start making shots that you never thought doing this and the ball goes in. I mean, once momentum takes over, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it's like you're unstoppable. Am I telling the truth? If you played sports, you know once momentum kicks in, and you hear the sportscasters talking about it all the time, well, you could feel the momentum shift. What is that thing? If I was going to come up with one word, it's confidence. We can do this. It's happening. And that's confidence in a general sense. But the confidence that I'm referring to is confidence in God. Not just confidence in confidence. I'm talking about confidence in God, and not just the God who's out there. Confidence in the God who's in here.
Yes.
Confidence in the God who is in here, wherever you go. I remember my daughter when she was much younger, Kara. I remember when she was much younger, we went to the fair, and I wanted to go to the scary house, and she was like, I don't know, Dad, I'm not going. She was just a little something, you know, maybe 6, 7, maybe 8. And she didn't want to go to the scary house, but I wanted to go to the scary house, and I wanted her to go with me. So I said, let's go to the scary house. No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I'm scared. Oh, come on, let's go. Finally, I talked her into it. And we went through the scary house, and she, the scarier it got, you know what happened? The tighter she clung. She got closer and closer to me, put my arm around her. She might not have looked at anything, but when we got out, she was fine. And she said, I wasn't so scary. See, when we have confidence in the one in us, life is, it's not that scary. It's not that scary, not because we can tough it out, not because we're so strong, but because of the one who is with us. And when we realize he is with us, just like my daughter, when she realized I was with her, it wasn't quite as scary. And so as we go through our journeys each day, whether it's a circumstance, even if it's us, we aren't so scary. You see, he is in you, right in there with all your issues.
Yes.
I mean, he's not just looking at your issues from a distance. He's right up there, in there, in there, in you, with them.
Yes.
He's living with them all around him.
Oh my.
Think about that. It's the truth. It is the truth. He is inside of you with all of your issues.
Thank you, Lord.
He is inside of you as you go through whatever it is that you are dealing with. And confidence means that we're trusting in his presence with us. And it changes the way we experience our lives day to day. And we can base our confidence on the fact that he's there, not the feeling that he's there. And that's why we need the truth. That's why we need the scripture. That's why when we're wobbly, we can go to the scripture and we can look and see he's in me. I don't need to be afraid. I can choose to be, but I don't need to be. And when I am, I can take my fear to him. I can say, Lord, I'm afraid. I can snuggle up closer.
Yes.
Thank
you, Lord.
And it also extends, our confidence then extends to our view of other people.
Amen.
Because we know that the same God, and particularly those that we love who are believers, and we know that they're really not on track. We were talking about this in Sunday school. I have family members who are not on track with where I would like for them to be with the Lord. But I am confident that the Lord lives in them. And my confidence is not in their ability to figure it out. My confidence is in God's ability to open their eyes and to help them to see through the process of the life that they're living. And it gives me peace. We were talking about it in our Sunday school class. I said, this is amazing. We're talking about this in Sunday school. It was about the freedom to release our loved ones. And when we have confidence in the Holy Spirit, we are free to release our loved ones. So that's all I have to say. Our distinguished friend is a partner like none other as he assists us in fulfilling our role in our partnership with the Lord. I'm done.
Amen.